Doc Rivers continues to time and time again not get it when it comes to getting... Oh! Let him play!
Down 21-0 in the fourth quarter, they kicked a field goal. Fire everybody. Disband the program.
Oh yeah, another clank by Carmelo. Oh, that Porzingis!
I like that, Dave. I'm in foreclosure because I lost my arch.
From Los Angeles, this is Dave in the City, brought to you by Locks of the Week Radio. Now, here's Dave Medina.
Good evening, sports fans, and a pleasure to have you here for the big football show. Good to have you back after a week off doing the football picks, and much to cover this week. In football and in baseball, as it turns out, we had some really crazy action in the division series this week. In fact, today, a lot of excitement in the sport of baseball. But our focus tonight will be football, and we're happy to have a new guest picker to join us for that. We want to thank a couple of guys for the previous 2 weeks of picks. On the air, we had James, the real grand. He was on, and he did a pretty good job. He was 3-1 in picks. Back in week 5. For week number 6, we were off the podcast for football picks, but we did get the picks in online, and in the picks, our good friend Kevin on the Cape was back, and he went 2-2 last week, so that's pretty good stuff. We'll have more on what happened last week in particular coming up in just a moment. And then that brings in a new guest picker, and along with our regular crew tonight, on the air we're going to have Andy in Seattle and John in Connecticut. Ron will be sending his picks via the text. Then we have our new guest picker, along with yours truly, Dave Medina, and a pretty exciting game in the ALCS Game 5 underway as we speak. We are in the sixth inning, and the Yankees are at the bat at Cleveland. The Yankees now clinging to a 3-2 lead. It was 3-0, but the Indians rallied with a series of singles to get back in this one, so... So we'll keep an eye on that one as we do this podcast recording tonight. But first, we start with everything on the table. You talk about rankings coming out. You talk about pleas for a football playoff system expansion. Lots of things that people want in college football, but only some can get. And we certainly had some more upsets last week. So who can avoid the booby trap this time around? What's going to happen? Will there be additional surprises in week number 7? Well, there's only one way to find out. We got to go out in the field and let's hit it. Football picks week 7. And in week 6, you can get the week 5 picks over at ditcow.com. But week 7, we were even Steven. Everybody went 2-2. Everybody. Ron went 2-2. Dave, Andy, John, and our guest picker Kevin on the Cape, all 2-2 last week. So here are the standings, unchanged from the week before. It is Ron now in first place at 13-9. That is tied with Dave, who is also 13-9. That's me in second place. In third place, Andy holding steady at 11-11. And in last is John at 7-15. The guest picks this season are 13-9. Another good year for the guest pickers. Good stuff. So let's get right to it, because we have a lot to talk about in last week's action of football. And on top of that, we have the new rankings released, and it has a new entry. Somebody you haven't seen this high up in the rankings in quite some time. That team is Georgia. Georgia, with their strong play and their good defense, has risen all the way to college football playoff territory in fourth place. In third place is Penn State. In second place is Clemson. In first place is Alabama, no surprise there. But I think the surprise of last week was Oklahoma at home losing to Iowa State. They were favored by a ton. I think they were favored by, I think it was like 16 or 17 or 18. And Oklahoma loses outright at home. Definitely a situation where their defense got exposed. And our friend Parcells over on Twitter was warning all of us about that. But it came to bite them this time around, and suddenly things are looking a little different. That is the first loss of the season for Oklahoma, and so they're not out of the playoff picture yet, but that definitely knocks them down a peg. And if you weren't with us, well, you weren't with us because we were off last week, USC also lost to Washington State. To be fair, that one was a little more predictable. They were worn down and tired. They were missing a bunch of guys. So they did that, and then they rebounded with Oregon State. So definitely a lot going on. Michigan lost to Michigan State. Michigan State always plays that team tough, but this is crazy. This is like two out of three at least. At least two out of three, maybe even three straight, that Michigan State has beaten the Harbaugh Michigan Wolverines. So that was something. It was an ugly game on Saturday Night Football, but Iowa gets it done. I mean, sorry, Michigan State gets it done. So, wow, just a lot to talk about here. And let's get to it. So let's begin by introducing our panel. We start with our friend John in Connecticut. John, welcome back to the program. How's it going tonight?
Doing well, Dave. Good to be back on the show. Hope you had a good Columbus Day weekend, and looking forward to recapping all the action.
Yeah, absolutely. And we'll get right to it. So, Andy, welcome to the program as well. How's it going this evening?
Good. Just watching a lot of the baseball and some Sun Belt action. So we'll hopefully not be too distracted while we're watching the games and talking some football.
Well, you and me both, Andy. You know, I am a little surprised that South Alabama is giving Troy such a hard time. I mean, I think they were favored by 16, but all of a sudden, you know, in the early going, it was USA up 9-0. I haven't checked on the game since then. Has there been a bit of a rebound by Troy?
No, it's halftime. Troy's in a cold mode. If they want to have any sort of potential for a show, they better start paging Lang. Oh, by the way, Oklahoma, they were giving 31 last week to Iowa State.
Whoa!
So it's even more of a mess. Yeah, bigly upset.
Yeah, absolutely. And so we introduced to you our guest picker for this week, and it's a returning picker. He would be Chris in Georgia. Chris, welcome back to the program. How's it going tonight?
Hey, Dave. Doing great. How are you?
Doing well. We got a lot to talk about, as we mentioned, and Chris will be with us for the college football portion of our show. So let's take that moment now to talk about what happened last week. And so we go back to John. John, definitely some more big upsets, and certainly Oklahoma might have been the biggest of them all. It is the biggest of them all if you base it on the point spread. So tell us a little bit about a pretty crazy week six in college.
Yeah, and it's a bad job by us because it seems like every year, if you know, I don't have the book in front of me to back it up, but it feels like the week before Texas and Oklahoma play, they just seem to just play lackluster games and not cover. And in this case, Oklahoma was just a huge upset loss and pretty much knocks them out of the playoff consideration, considering the reputation for the Big 12. You know, never going to say never because we still have half the season to play, but it's going to be hard to recover from a 30-point losing as a 30-point favorite. So just a terrible job by them. Who would have thought Iowa State would go in there? And after getting behind early, it's not like, you know, they were playing with Oklahoma the whole game. They were behind at least two touchdowns early on. And then they come back to win the game. So a great job by their coach to have them ready to play. And just, you know, Oklahoma just shows that they don't need Bob Stoops to lose a big game these days. That's just a horrible loss. You mentioned Michigan losing. And then in Michigan State, they always play tough games. D'Antonio seems to have their number in recent years. And, you know, Michigan had been kind of playing with fire all year, really, just kind of barely squeaking by these games. Their offensive line had not been very good. Obviously, they were playing with their backup quarterback. And, you know, it just goes to show you how much better Wilton Spade is than O'Korn, who, you know, he was just awful on Saturday night. And, you know, granted, you know, it was a pretty big rainstorm during that game, but they just could not get anything going. Just really no bounces at all for them. And it looks like they're going to be probably out of the playoff mix as well. TCU had that nice win over West Virginia, and they're the only undefeated team left in the Big 12. So maybe they're, you know, kind of like a couple of years ago where they came out of nowhere and really should have made the playoff. And maybe they're the team from the Big 12 that to look out for. Obviously, they're the team as of right now to beat. Penn State, you know, keeps on rolling. Saquon Barkley had a slow start to the game, but eventually he puts up his numbers, and, you know, he's probably the Heisman favorite as of right now, and the guy is just unbelievable. You know, Alabama kind of had a little bit of a letdown game at A&M, but, you know, we can excuse them for not winning by 40 every week. Clemson did what they had to do, but concerning that game is Kelly Bryant's injury. You have to keep an eye on that to see if he's going to be healthy. And then, you know, it's kind of funny. Every year, Ohio State, they lose early, and then they just start destroying teams. And by the end of the season, it's, oh, we got to get Ohio State in the playoff. Oh, they're so much better than everyone else. Even though they didn't win their division, they didn't win their conference. So we got to get them in the playoff. And it seems like it's heading that way this year after they just destroyed Maryland. I can already see the pundits trying to make a case for them, even after, you know, if they were somehow to beat Penn State and it's another three-way tie or something, and, you know, they don't make the conference championship game, somehow they'll find a way to get them in there. So, and then a good job by Washington State to kind of overcome the letdown factor after beating USC, go on the road and beat up Oregon. And granted, it's not without their starting quarterback, but still, Austin Stadium's a tough place to play, and they got it done. And, you know, hopefully we're going to have a nice Apple Cup at the end of the year here with Washington State and Washington possibly. You know, wouldn't that be cool if they were both undefeated heading into that game, essentially an elimination game scenario? So we'll keep rooting for that to happen.
You know, it's a really, really – everybody's really fired up in the state of Washington, and we go to Andy in Seattle. Let's get your recap of last week's action. I mean, and Mike Leach was definitely fired up during the presser recently where he was talking about how Oregon was the – was a bunch of stadiums were more louder than Oregon. Hey, it was quiet on Saturday. Washington State absolutely destroyed the Ducks. Then you don't see that often. So, Andy, let's get your recap of last week.
Yeah, Dave. Things starting to come into shape here as October is about the halfway point of the month, halfway point of the season. Everyone wants to see a Washington State Apple Cup, basically for winner takes all. Hopefully there'll be no muscles in the way, you know, looking at their schedules. And Washington State's got a road test at Utah, which could be trouble. And then I think they have Stanford at home, which could be trouble. Washington, on the other hand, I think they have to, I think they go to Stanford and Utah comes here. So they have a good chance to run the table. I would be worried if I was Washington State going into that Utah game because Utah is a very pesky school in itself. But Washington probably has the softer schedule on paper, but as you know, anything can happen. John did a good job recapping all the moving and shaking. You know, I dread the day in December, or late November, when you've got a smorgasbord. I call it the poopfecta of Ohio State, Penn State and Wisconsin all arguing and pandering who should get in the playoff. And I know Wisconsin, if you look at their schedule, they've got a cream puff schedule for a top conference situation. And all they've done is just win every game. They're just quietly just pounding away. And they have a pretty soft Big Ten schedule for whatever reason. So they might be spoiling the fun as we close the year. Like John said, LOL Oklahoma, LOL Michigan, LOL Bobby Petrino. You know, don't trust Louisville on the road on a Thursday night. Exhibit A last week, you know, now NC State could cause some trouble in the ACC. I think Clemson goes there later in the year. That could be a big game all of a sudden. And Georgia is rising, like you said. Auburn, after their first week bunk against Clemson, all of a sudden, they're starting to put on a show. You know, SEC is very top-heavy. It's you can make the case that's been the trend year after year, but I think this year's even more polarizing. There's some really bad teams. Missouri's bad. Ole Miss is bad. Vanderbilt's really bad. I mean, all those three schools are like 30-point underdogs this weekend. And then I guess Western Michigan Buffalo played a 7-overtime game, the Degenerates Oasis, if you were into that. I wasn't, but I just happened to look at the score on Sunday morning, scrolling through my phone, and I like a basketball score, like 70-63, 7-overtime. So if that was on a Wednesday night from Maction, I might have actually seen that. But nonetheless, funny score to look at the day after all the action. And that's about it.
Yeah, and that was the highest scoring game, I believe, in the history of college football, basically, in FBS. So that was one to remember if you were there. I didn't see it either, but I saw the notification about it. Now, on Clemson, we go to Chris in Georgia. There, you know, John brought up the possible scare with Kelly. So we're interested to hear what you have to say about Clemson. I mean, they're still doing their job, and I think the thing is, you know, can they all stay healthy at this point? So let's get your recap of last week, and then feel free to share some Clemson thoughts with us, Chris.
Sure. Well, I'll start with Clemson. One, Dabo's already said that that Kelly Bryant's going to play Friday night. The game's on Friday at Syracuse. And, you know, I think that's fine. I mean, look to them to run the ball a lot. I mean, they've got this, like, three-headed running attack now that's really kind of carry the team. And, I mean, I know Bryant's been a big part of that, but they have the horses. I mean, in some ways, they remind me of Georgia a little bit, like great defense, like really good running game. So yeah, I'm optimistic about that game. Just around the college football ranks last week, you know, I had to take my kid to a birthday party, and I didn't get back. And by the time I got back, Oklahoma State had already lost. The Clemson game was basically over. So I missed a lot of the early games. One note about Oklahoma lost to Iowa State. Iowa State's quarterback, this is interesting, is a linebacker, which I thought was pretty amazing. They lost to a guy who was playing linebacker earlier. What else? I watched the Miami-FSU game was really interesting because FSU scored with about a minute to go, a little over a minute, about a minute and a half to go to take the lead. And Miami came back and won that game on with about 6 seconds left, touchdown into the end zone. And then I watched the Michigan State game. That was great. I texted you, Dave, during that, and I said, Michigan looks like they actually missed space, which is hard to believe. And then later, the other thing, I watch a little Pac-12. You guys are West Coasters there, except for John. I tuned into the Stanford Utah game just for a little bit because I wanted to see this guy's Bryce Love. He's averaging like 10 yards a carry, and it was funny because I turned it on. It was late. It was like the fourth quarter, and he wasn't having such a great game. I mean, he wasn't bad, but he wasn't anywhere near, you know, 10 yards carry. And then next play, like, breaks up, like, a 68-yard run. And Stanford won that one in Salt Lake City. So, it was an exciting week. A lot of, you know, those two big upsets obviously turned everything upside down. So, good stuff.
It was good stuff for sure. And that was a big win for Stanford. I mean, I felt like that was a little bit of a test for the Cardinal. Going to Utah and beating Utah, but they did it. So that's a good job out of them. And speaking of Utah, that sets up a pretty big game coming up, at which we're going to get to. Oops. Let's do that again. There we go. We're going to get to in our game previews. And so not really much in terms of marquee games. Like literally two and maybe three if you want to be generous. Oklahoma, Texas tends to be a pretty exciting game, even though these two teams are, it's fair to say, both of them have been underwhelming this year overall. They both had their spots, though. I mean, Texas looked good against USC. They lost. And Oklahoma went out there and they beat up Ohio State. So it's interesting how things have changed. Things can change week to week. And here we are again with these two teams going up against one another. So that's all I have for that game. The other two games are Texas Tech versus West Virginia. And as you guys have been saying, West Virginia's on a roll. The question is, can they outlast that Texas Tech offense? The thing we know is that their defense gives it back all the time. So we'll see about that game. And Utah-USC. Andy actually made a point on this a couple weeks ago. He thought that this was going to be a really big game for the Pac-12 South. And it's, in essence, really the game that decides that division. And I agree with that. I think it's Colorado has fallen off bigly. I think UCLA can't get out of their own way. So this is basically a showdown to decide who's going to end up winning that division. So the winner of that should be in control of the division the rest of the way. So that's all I have as far as the marquee matchups. We'll get into all the matchups, though, as we turn it back to John for the Week 7 college preview. John, it's all yours.
All right, yeah, Dave, before I it's not a great week. I wanted to ask Andy something. So, you know, you're tuned into the Huskies out there, UW, obviously. So I was watching SportsCenter the other night, and I didn't realize that Cal was down 38-7, and it's like 2 seconds left, and Wilcox of Cal, their coach, calls a timeout to kick a field goal that would have covered the spread. And they, I guess the snap went right over the guy's head, and they didn't make the field goal, so Washington still covered. But was there any talk of that out there, of like Wilcox was betting on Cal or something? There's no reason why for him to kick a field goal in that spot.
Yeah, my buddies were talking about that on Sunday. I missed the end of the game myself, but I have no idea why they would be doing that. I bet if you went on like Twitter or the gambling website, there people will be either griping about it, laughing about it, talking about it. But Wilcox used to coach at UW, so these coaches do some weird things. We see it all too often, and I don't know. I'm not sure what his motivation was for the field goal.
Okay, yeah, I was just curious because maybe I'm sure there's some people. Some conspiracy theories out there, but in any event, yeah, Dave, you kind of mentioned all the, if you want to say big games, I don't think there's any matchups here between two ranked teams, but like we've said many times, these are often the weeks that kind of jump up and, there'll be an upset or two. So I'm certainly looking forward to it. The Texas Oklahoma game's always interesting. Utah USC is pretty good for the night game. Let's see what else here. Oh, Boise State and San Diego State for the, you Insomniacs, late night degenerates, West Coast people. That should be an interesting game. I think San Diego State is pretty much going to run the table. This is probably their toughest game left. It is at home, so you'd expect for them to win this, but it's probably their toughest game by far left on their schedule. Let's see if it's kind of an under-the-radar game here that'll be pretty good. Auburn LSU's got potential if LSU can play like they did last week at Florida. They finally got things turned around there, so that could be interesting. Georgia Tech Miami's both teams undefeated in the ACC. Georgia Tech's kind of flying under the radar. They really should be undefeated. If you remember the opening game against Tennessee, they outgained them by like 300 yards and still lost the game in overtime, which is ridiculous. But that should be pretty good. Georgia Tech and Miami, that'll be a good game. Let's see what else here. Really got nothing else for you, Dave. It's kind of a slow week, I guess. But like I said, sometimes these are often the weeks where a couple teams will jump up and we'll get an upset or two. So certainly looking forward to watching the games. But on paper, it's not the most exciting slate.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I really had to dig pretty deep to find even the three games. So it's gonna be. Like you said, it'll be one where you can kind of sit back and watch and see if anything comes out of the ether, some surprises, stuff like that. So let's go to Andy and get your week number 7 preview.
Yeah, just rambling on here, John. Listed a pretty good slate of games. I'll definitely be into that Mountain West game. That is degenerate special. It's whatever you call that outside bowl. Last year was Western Michigan, the non-Power 5 or the Power 6, I don't know, but whatever that is, you've got San Diego State in the mix, you've got South Florida in the mix, you used to maybe have Troy in the mix. So obviously, if San Diego State has dreams, they got to take care of business against Boise State this Saturday. Boise State is not your typical Boise State team this year. They've had some quarterback issues. Mark Rippon's son was hurt, and now they've got this backup that's basically the guy at this point. That USC UCLA the USC Utah game. The problem for Utah in this game is their backup quarterback will be playing. His name's Troy Williams. He actually was a starter at Washington for a few games when Peterson was here for his first year. He can't throw. That's the problem. He's got a terrible form. So they'll probably miss their original quarterback a little bit this Saturday, but you never know. Those Utah USC games do tend to be a little close. Washington's got a game at Arizona State where they're favored by 17, so just be careful there. Washington State
on the road at Cal on Friday night. Also a 14-point favorite or thereabouts. So be careful there. You mentioned that West Virginia-Texas Tech game. I don't know what's going to happen in that game. West Virginia coming off a close loss to TCU. Now they got to get right back at it against Cliff Kingsbury. You know, whoever had the ball last could win that game. If their offensive stereotypes come to play, Alabama, big favorite against they're playing Arkansas. I'm not sure who Clemson's playing, but, you know, keep an eye on those two teams all year long. That John mentioned that Miami-Georgia Tech game. Yeah, Paul Johnson, you never know when he's going to have one of those sneaky good teams like he did a few years ago when they went to, I believe it was an Orange Bowl against Mississippi State. But this year, yeah, they really should have beat the Vols week one, Labor Day weekend. And I guess Miami lost their running back last week against Florida State, which might mar their chances moving forward. But, you know, Mark Richtek has done a pretty good job there, year two, all things considered. But that's basically it. I have no idea where game day is on Saturday, if they're going on the road or they're just, I don't know what they're doing.
That's a good question point. You know, it's kind of been a weird year for game day. I don't know. A lot of times you just never really know what to expect. They were at Times Square one year. I mean, one week. And where were they last week? Virginia Tech. I can't even remember. But yeah, it's a weird year for them. They must be it's definitely a challenge for them trying to find places to go. And I think a big reason for that is what we were just talking about. The SEC is just down. Like, you know, Tennessee's terrible. Florida's terrible. You know, a lot of these teams are just not living up to the hype. But your guys are also right about Auburn. They're starting to really put it together, and they look pretty good. So let's go to Chris and get your feel for Week 7 in college football.
Yeah, no, I don't have a whole lot to add to that. I mean, it's interesting. There's no single matchup pitting two top 25 teams, which is interesting, which contributes to it being a weak week. I think next week there are three. They're going to be like three, well, depending on how the rankings shake out, probably three or four the following week. So this is a bad last week, bad week for a while. Yeah, Clemson plays Syracuse Friday night, so I'm probably glued to that one. But yeah, you're right. Nothing really, nothing big really jumps out at me, to be honest. Maybe John mentioned the Georgia Tech Miami game. That might go high on my list, just because I'm kind of high on Georgia Tech this year. I think they're really good. And yeah, that's it. Yeah, I agree with what you said, though, about the SEC. I think it's stronger than it was last year, just because I think Georgia's better than Florida was. I think Auburn's better than Ole Miss. So I think you've got like three really strong teams in that conference. Whereas last year, I was never in on Florida, and like, I mean, Georgia looks like a power now. I don't know. I mean, give it another week or two. I mean, actually, not a couple of weeks, because they play Missouri, which is basically a week off. But I want to see Georgia a few more weeks and see what they can do. But, I mean, you got to be impressed with Georgia right now. Dogs, I mean, they look pretty awesome. And hopefully they keep it up. It'd be great if that SEC championship game, you know, here in Atlanta, is you know, if it's Alabama and Georgia, good. So, yeah, that's my thoughts.
You know, it's I'm rooting for it too. I'm a big believer in Georgia. I remember on the preview show, I was pretty high on them, and so far so good. But a lot of guys are still skeptical about Georgia, and it's valid because, you know, in years past when Rick was running the program, they would have that letdown loss, and then they would, you know, always finish with like a couple extra losses more than they were expected to. I don't know if it's going to be the same this time around or not. I think the Auburn game is going to be a big test for them. And you just got to make sure not to have that bad letdown loss along the way. So we will see if that ends up being a factor as we go into the next month of the season. So let's get to the picks, and we will begin with Ron's picks as he sends them here via the text. So pick number one from Ron's week number seven picks. He will go with Illinois minus 2.5 against Rutgers. No surprise there. And game number two is Minnesota plus 4 in what I think could be a letdown scenario against Michigan State. So to repeat, Illinois minus 2.5 and Minnesota plus 4 for week number seven, Ron's picks. They were good. And so we move on to my picks for week seven. And here they are from college football. Here we go. Game number one. And I'm going to need some confirmation from fellas on the line. I have it at 3.5 at Vegas Insider right now. So we'll go that way. We'll go Virginia minus 3.5 at North Carolina. The North Carolina defense is absolutely abysmal. I mean, every time I watch these guys play against anybody, they are giving up just tons of points, like at least 24 points every single game. They are 1-4. No, they're like 1-5 or something this year. These guys are just not a good team. And Virginia's really gotten on a roll. They had a nice win last week against Duke. And they're the team that finally beat Boise State because they had that game coming. They were not playing well. And finally, Virginia just blew them out. So I think Virginia and Bronco Mendenhall is having a nice little bounce back season. We'll go with Virginia minus 3.5 at Chapel Hill. Game number two, feeding off what everyone is saying. San Diego State and their ground-and-pound-em offense. I like them against said Boise State Broncos. So San Diego State minus 7 at home. So again, our picks for week 7, Virginia minus 3.5. And San Diego State minus 7. And that does it for me. Let's go ahead and go to Andy in Seattle, and whenever you're ready to go, let's get your week 7 picks.
Well, thanks, Dave. Game number one, we're going to plant the seed with Alabama giving 30 points against Arkansas. Last week, they were up 21-3 at one point, and with the ball, fumbled the ball. A&M scored. All of a sudden, it's 21-10. And when that happened, Saban's plans for the show were altered, and they basically just kind of scrapped it around and won by 8 instead of the 26. But anyway, they turned the page and they would play an Arkansas team that doesn't play defense. Arkansas is coming off a loss where I believe they gave up 48 points to, I think they played South Carolina. This is an Arkansas team that let TCU basically have their way with them, dominate them, pulverize them, embarrass them week two of the year. And I'm just the type of Mongo that holds a grudge for years and years. So I think Belima's an absolute clown. They haven't covered a game yet either. They're 0-6 against the spread. So what else might play their do theory, but I'm not going to. This is just wonderful analysis here. Alabama, one of these days this year, maybe Jalen Hurts will have a prolific passing game, but he just really hasn't had to. They've got three running backs, Scarborough, Harris, and Jacobs that all could probably run for 1,000 yards if they were on other teams. That's just what Saban does. It's basically running back you. And they all basically get an equal amount of workload game in and game out. And I think, Arkansas will have no formidable threat throughout the game. It's a big number. Yeah, 30. So give me Alabama minus 30 for game number one. Game number two, we have bet against BYU basically since the opening weekend when they laid an egg against LSU. And since then, they've laid a bunch of eggs against BYU, or not against Utah, against Utah State, against Boise State, against Wisconsin. They just stink. And they've got quarterback issues. Their first quarterback by the name of Tyson McCannum Magnum, I don't know, he's been there for years. He got hurt. The second guy got hurt. Their third stringer was Coy Detmer's son, who's basically like a midget. He's like 5'9", but he's on the team. And he had to come in against Utah State, but he sucked. So last week they brought back Magnum, Mangum, whatever his name is, he was wearing a boot. I think he has to take off the boot to play. So they stink. Now, Mississippi State, they were exposed. Remember 3 weeks ago when they beat LSU? Ooh, here comes Mississippi State. Fitzgerald, a prolific quarterback. Then they got humble pie against Alabama, and then they got humble pie last week again against Auburn. So I think this is the week where they can focus, get back some confidence by punishing a BYU team that this will probably be the second SEC school this year where they will struggle to cross 50-yard line. I mean that. When they played that LSU opening day weekend, they didn't cross midfield until the fourth quarter. You know, usually BYU has a pretty good, entertaining offense. This year, they're just in trouble. That coach, I don't know what his deal is, but I think Mississippi State puts a hurting on BYU. Just mismatch in heaven. Giving 24. So two big SEC schools with big numbers this week for me. Mississippi State giving 24 against BYU, and Alabama giving 30 versus Arkansas.
Oh, thanks for the picks, Andy. And now we move on to John in Connecticut. And John, when you're ready to go, we are ready for your Week 7 picks.
All right, thanks, Dave. So last week I finally did well with my college picks, and I'm heading into Sunday thinking, all right, I might finally have a winning week here. And then, of course, my NFL picks tank, so we have a 2-2 week. But it was a positive start last week to turn around the college scenario. We'll start with a favorite play of mine, the unranked home favorite against a ranked team. And why Texas Tech is ranked, I do not know, but we'll take West Virginia, giving the 3.5 at home. I don't like the half point, but what are you going to do in this scenario? You got to play it. Texas Tech, they did have an impressive road win against Houston. I will give them credit for that. However, besides that, they beat in Arizona State, Kansas, and then their FCS opponent. Not a very challenging schedule. The only real team they played was Oklahoma State, and they were no match for them. It's always a tough scenario for Big 12 teams to travel into Morgantown. And this is the one advantage West Virginia's had since joining the conference, is getting all these Texas teams to travel up there, and they usually do not fare well. West Virginia's been pretty solid all year. You know, they played a really tough, close game last week, as we talked about earlier, against TCU. And just going by the line here, you know, we'll go with West Virginia to cover the spread. Probably will be close, but in the end, we'll go with them to win by a touchdown. So West Virginia -3.5 for game one against Texas Tech. In game two, this is your complete degenerate special. I'm going Buffalo +5.5 against Northern Illinois. For the only reason that they are 6-0 against the spread this year, they were projected to be just a horrendous team coming into the season. They've clearly outpaced Vegas' expectations. They're only 3-3 on the year, but they're 6-0 against the spread. We'll look for that to continue some more at home against Northern Illinois. You know, I guess I'm a little worried the 7 overtime game kind of took a lot out of them, but at the same time, home dog and the MAC, I mean, this could go either way, but just playing the percentages with this one, Buffalo +5.5 for game number two, in addition to West Virginia -3.5 for game number one.
Thanks, John. We will see if Buffalo can go back into a shape. You're right, that could wear them out. That's interesting. That's an interesting storyline right there. So now let's go to Chris in Georgia. And Chris, we will take both your college and your pro picks. And after that, I kind of want to talk some baseball. So we'll do that. We'll get the picks first, and then we'll go from there. So Chris, it's all yours when you're ready.
Sure. So first one is Pitt, NC State. I'm getting these numbers off Sportsline. I'm not a gambler like you guys. So if something's wrong, just, you know, whatever, I go with whatever number is correct. But it was Pitt or an NC State +11 or NC State's favored by 11 over Pitt. So I'm taking that. I'll take NC State. Pitt is just an awful team. I mean, they've got two wins over Youngstown State and Rice. They lost to Syracuse last week. I mean, they're just horrendous. And NC State, after that early loss to South Carolina, has actually looked pretty good. Their defense has been, you know, been improved. So I like that one. That game just kind of jumped out at me. And then the second game is the aforementioned Gamecocks visiting Tennessee. This is an interesting one because, I mean, one, it's first week Tennessee's not in the top 25. It's another home game for Tennessee. I think this is third in a row. And they're not favored, which is interesting. And Carolina's been weird this year. They've been kind of up and down. I mean, you know, they had that big win week one against NC State. You know, they lost a few weeks ago to Kentucky. Last week they just demolished Arkansas. I didn't actually watch that, but yeah, they went big over them. So yeah, I'm taking Carolina. It's interesting, though, Tennessee is like one of the worst run defenses in college football, and they're just atrocious against the run. And Carolina really doesn't have a strong running game, but they switched back to their Rico Dowdle, who's a starting running back first few weeks. So I think he could have a big game. Tennessee just looks like they've kind of nailed it in. And Butch is just dead man walking at this point. I just can't imagine what it's like to play on a team like that. My pick's NC State plus 11 over Pitt and Carolina Gamecocks minus 3 over Tennessee.
All right, very good stuff, Chris. Now, I wanted to... Now, is that plus 11 or minus 11? Who's the favorite? Is it? Let me double-check that myself, because...
Yeah, check it. I had NC State plus 11. I mean, wait, it would be NC State minus 11, right?
Oh, okay, yeah, I think it's minus, yeah. So I see
you can tell I don't gamble.
No problem. All right, very good. So... Anyway, thanks for the picks, Chris, and let's continue then. Let's get into a little baseball talk, actually, before we move on. So it's been a really wild division series, and I think I just wanted to spend a couple minutes recapping some of that. So we'll start with Andy. I mean, Dodgers sweep, Red Sox come up short, and the Yankees and Indians are going at it. It's a tight game here. There, Cubs blew their game today with the grand slam to Michael A. Taylor. And the Nats blew the previous game by letting Max Scherzer go a little too early. So it's just been crazy. Division series definitely has been pretty wild. So, Andy, I'll give it to you now for the baseball recap, and then we'll go from there.
Yeah, I'm not going to be super rational because it's baseball. And baseball is one of those sports where if you were to take a pulse of the team every night for 162 games, you're going to lose your mind. But a lot of people do that. I'm guilty of it here and there. Other people are really guilty of it. And so if you were to take the pulse of the Yankees every night from April 1st to today, you'd have a million different identities. You'd hate the team. You'd love the team. You'd be frustrated with the team. You'd laugh at the team. You'd love the team. And, you know, Lou Lang, Girardi stinks, Girardi this. This team's old. We're underachieving. We're overachieving. Bench Judge. Start Judge, Judge MVP, bat him ninth, demote him, CeCe's fat, CeCe's old, CeCe's great, CeCe's gritty, CeCe's gutty, CeCe pinstripes, Chapman this, Chapman that. It's crazy. And here they are, six outs away from going to the ALCS, and we'll do it all over again for another seven games or wherever long it may be. Dodgers are great. Arizona took big steps. This year, they've got a good lineup. Their starting pitching is fraudulent, starting with Zach Greinke. His wild card game was underwhelming. His game three start was underwhelming. And he gets $30 million a year. He's underwhelming. They got to get a closer that's more legit than Rodney. They need some help in the starting rotation, but their lineup's good. They definitely took some big steps. They just ran into a Dodger team that's basically been dominant from start to finish outside the two-week stretch in August where they definitely were playing like it was a dog days of summer because it was a dog days of summer. Looking forward to Game 5 Cubs-Nationals. Cubs had a good chance to finish it today. They didn't. All the marbles tomorrow. Red Sox-Houston. you know, this is 2 years in a row now. The Red Sox have won AL East. Nothing to show for it. Their starting pitching has been bad. Their young kids in the lineup have been a little underwhelming. They fired their manager today. Now Houston was just amazing. Their lineup is soup to nuts. It was on the moon compared to where the Red Sox were. They're out for loud. That's how good they were this weekend. Now we're just watching the last couple innings of this Indian-Yankee game. It's funny because, the Indians went on a remarkable winning streak in August into September. And then, the Yankees kind of were gritty-gutty all year long. And who's the tight team now? It's the Indians. The Indians have been tight last year when they couldn't close out 3-1 against the Cubs. And then ever since they lost 1-0 last Sunday in the stadium, now they're just tight as a drum. So we'll see what happens.
Yep, a couple innings to go, and we'll keep an eye on that one as we go along in the program. Chris, I wanted to get your baseball thoughts too. I mean, as Andy mentioned with the Red Sox, they fired John Farrell. I think a lot of Red Sox seem to agree with that move. I'm not sure where you are with it, but let's get your baseball recap for what you've seen so far.
Yeah, honestly, I haven't watched a ton of it. I've been watching the Yankee game. A lot of those Red Sox games, almost every single one was a day game, unfortunately, was working, but I tried to catch as much as I could. I haven't watched any of the NL games yet. I mean, I apologize, Dave. I know your Dodgers swept the D-backs, and they look sharp as can be. And then this Cubs-Nationals series is turning out to be a dogfight. So a lot of juice, and this game's been amazing so far. It's been really exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I was just going to say that, this is setting up for what could be some dramatics in the ninth inning, or maybe not. I mean, we'll see. There's a lot that can happen between now and then. So I think the postseason's lived up to the hype thus far. I will be intrigued to see how that ALCS goes, regardless of who wins this one, because the Astros are going to be there and the Astros are bringing a lot to the table, I think. I mean, that lineup has been very good, and it didn't seem to let up during the postseason, so we'll see. And I guess I'll give it to John if you have anything on baseball, if you've been following it. I mean, I don't honestly know. So, John, anything to add as far as the baseball?
Yeah, nothing that's not already been said. Andy did a nice job. I mean, I haven't watched every game. I've been trying to follow it a little bit more. I barely watched any this season. It's just a terrible job out of me. But watching the Yankee game right now, obviously, exciting Game 5 scenario, and I'll certainly tune in tomorrow. I mean, the Nats have the reputation as, you know, the playoff chokers every year, so we'll see if they can, finally win one at home tomorrow in a deciding game. So that'll be fun to watch. And obviously, Dave, you must be thrilled about how the Dodgers have, you know, kind of they got out of that 3-week funk, and now they're back to playing good baseball. So it'll be an exciting rest of the playoffs, and certainly we'll watch more as we get into the LCS and then certainly the World Series.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I'm definitely really pleased with how things are going so far. I mean, the extra rest, you know, the fact you didn't have to put Kershaw on short rest, I mean, there's definitely a lot that went well in that opening round. So, you know, we hope that it carries over. It hasn't over the last, like, 8 years. But you know, this team seems to be a little better than those. So we'll watch and enjoy and see how things shake out in the National League Championship Series. Same for the American League. So that's basically it for college. Chris, we'll say goodnight to you. And as far as NFL picks, don't worry about it. You can just send them by the text later on. Thanks for joining us, Chris. Hopefully you have a good weekend, and all the best to you and your family.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. Take care. Have a good weekend.
All right, buddy.
See you later.
All right, so that's Chris in Georgia, and now we move on into NFL talk, and there are certainly I think the NFL had a pretty good week last week as well. I'll say this, the night game, the game that I thought was going to get a lot of play, a lot of hype for the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Houston Texans. I was disappointed by the outcome, but you still saw some good plays out of Deshaun Watson. I think overall, Watson's having such a great year, and I did want to definitely spend some time to talk about that. He's certainly been really great. maybe even exceeded expectations in the early going for the Houston Texans. They look like a credible team, notwithstanding last week. So very pleased so far with how he's doing. I'm a fan of his anyway. The game I think that was really good was the Packers-Cowboys. Holy cow. I mean, once again, you just got the game going back and forth, and Cowboys could not finish. You know, when they scored the touchdown, it was crazy. It was like, you thought, wait a minute, they have like over a minute left. I think Rodgers could do something with it, and they did. And not only did they get in range for the field goal, but they won it outright. Clearly a very exciting game, an emotional game. And I think for Cowboy fans, they must be frustrated that they just cannot seem to beat the Packers in these games, because they seem to, over and over, the Packers find a way to win. But all in all, just a tremendous game. That was good stuff. The whole week was pretty good for the most part, except even Monday night. You know, John actually was right. I underestimated that Chicago game. You know, Minnesota Chicago 3-2 at the half, but then in the second half, you had some crazy plays. You had a fake punt return for a fake punt for a touchdown, and the Bears were right there, but Minnesota found a way to win in the end. So that's week number 5 in a nutshell for the NFL. Let's go to John and get your recap of what happened. John, it's all yours.
Yeah, lots of stuff to talk about here. I guess I'll start with the Packers. Just a crazy game. No way, shape, or form did I think they were coming back down 21-6 in the second quarter, but you've kind of seen it many times here in the NFL where a team, they score before the half, they get the ball to start the second half, they score again, and it's a whole different ball game, and that's what happened here. Rodgers drives them down the field at 21-6. They get a touchdown right before the half, and they come out on the start of the third quarter, drive down and get a field goal. So it's 21-15, and Dallas hasn't touched the ball in, I don't know, you know, half an hour of game time, or real time. And they had the big play with the pick six off the tip. They needed that for their defense. And then the Cowboys go on that 10-minute drive, and I know you can't think of it in the moment when you're running the play, but if Dak Prescott, on his read option play, takes a knee and slides at like the 1 yard line, there's no way that they're going to lose the game, because I guess you have to score at that point. You can't really worry about when you're heading for the end zone, but if he had taken a knee there heading in, they would have won, because there was no way the Packers were stopping anything that they were throwing at them from the 1 yard line. And they left Rodgers just enough time let him do his thing. And, you know, people need to, I appreciate watching this guy every Sunday, because when he's gone, you're certainly going to miss watching him play, because he's just unbelievable stuff he does on a week-to-week basis. And I just love how people didn't used to say he was a clutch quarterback. Well, I think we could put that to rest over what we've seen from him over the past 3 years in these situations. So just a great win for the Packers, and, you know, their defense is still shaky, but, you know, as long as they have Rodgers, Aaron Jones looked great, the rookie from UTEP. They can use him on first and second down, bring Montgomery back into the mix on third down. They're going to be very formidable here. If they can somehow get a win in Minnesota this weekend, it'll be a tough game. I think they can head to the bye at 6-1, because I think they'll beat the Saints at home the following week, and that'd be a heck of a start this year for the Packers. So very pleased about that, obviously. As for elsewhere around the league, you know, yeah, Dave, you mentioned Deshaun Watson. How the hell did Tom Savage start game one over this guy? I mean, they call Bill O'Brien an offensive genius, and they're letting Watson sit on the bench to start the season. I mean, just that is just ridiculous. I mean, I know they lost, but just extremely impressive. The line kind of fooled me on that one earlier in the week. The Texans were actually a 2-point favorite, so I was kind of like, okay, well, you know, this is a game where you kind of bet the line, and by game time, it was Texans +2, so kind of had a feeling it wasn't going to go my way there, but certainly Watson's an exciting player to watch, and, you know, again, they came up short. The Chiefs played great once again. Alex Smith is like this bizarro world where he's throwing it down the field, and the Chiefs' offense looks great. So they're the team to beat as of now in the AFC, but as you've seen, long way to go, and we've seen the Chiefs certainly choke in the playoffs before. So obviously give them credit for their great start, and, you know, we'll see if they can keep it going. Certainly they should this week against your Steelers, Dave. And that's my next theme for these two teams. Coaches who have lost control of their team.
Oh, man.
Number one has to be Mike Tomlin. I mean, this guy, it's just like you have two of the most talented players in the NFL with Brown and Bell, but they're two of the most, I guess, diva kind of players. I mean, 1 week, Bell bitches about not getting the ball enough. So, like, yep. Okay, they give him all sorts of carries. But then Brown bitches about not getting the ball. So then they force the game to him, and they don't run Bell against one of the worst rush defenses in the league with the Jaguars. And Ben throws five interceptions, says he doesn't have it at the end of the game. I mean, what a mess that team is, Dave. I don't know how you can get any sort of good feeling about them going forward. But I guess we'll see this weekend in Kansas City. And, of course, you have the Giants. I mean, McAdoo, what is this guy doing? I saw today that they had to send Rogers Cromartie home, and then there's all sorts of infighting going on there. I mean, you know, I saw rumors that, you know, trade Eli Manning to Jacksonville and then just start over, which honestly wouldn't be a bad idea at this point because they are going absolutely nowhere. Their top three receivers are out, so they're starting, you know, like Roger Lewis, Travis Rudolph, and Ed Egan. I don't even know who that guy is. In Denver this Sunday night, that's just going to be a complete massacre. I feel bad for Eli Manning. And it's funny because at the beginning of the year, we were talking, people were talking, it wasn't me, but people were saying the Giants are going to go to the Super Bowl, possibly, and the Jets are going to go winless. And here are the Jets, 3-2 in first place. Now, granted, they've played some weak teams the last 3 weeks, but hey, they've got the wins. They've got the wins. And the Giants are 0-5, and their season is practically over. So the NFL is just a wild and crazy place. You can never know what to expect, and that's why we love it.
We do, and I'll tell you, Andy called my team a hot poo last year, which was completely valid, but that is nothing compared to this year. This is a diarrhea team this year. I mean, the Steelers losing to the Bears, and now losing at home to the Jaguars. I mean, it really just does not get worse than that. It's as bad as it gets. I mean, I have pretty close to zero confidence in them against Kansas City. Who knows? At this point, man, it has been a rough start for them. And I think everything you said, John, is valid. So I'm going to get issue three teams that can get lost today. And we're going to start with the which one did I want to start with? I wanted to start with the Arizona Cardinals. All right. Look, you're getting 6.5 points. In a game against the Eagles, I realize that there's always an issue with the West Coast team going to play a 10 a.m. game or 1 p.m. game Eastern time over on the East Coast. But come on. I mean, the Eagles have been barely beating all these teams, and you go over there and you get slaughtered. I realize that the offensive line is bad. I realize that, you know, they lost their best running back. But that's ridiculous. I mean, they didn't even show up. I swear to God, they did not show up for that game. That was ridiculous. Team number two to get lost today, it's going to be the Lions. You know, I thought that they'd be better than they were recently, but these last couple of weeks have just been very disappointing. I mean, sometimes they can't get out of their own way. I mean, it was a 3-point game, but it was a lot of window dressing in the fourth quarter. And they could not keep pace with the Carolina Panthers. And I realize the Panthers have been playing better. They beat the Patriots, and they came in here, and they started piling up the points, But you know, when you talk about a quarterback that was mired in a fairly warm scandal regarding a sexist comment he made to a reporter, and I'm talking about Cam Newton, you have that controversy swirling over their heads, and Cam, you know, supposedly gimpy, he goes in, he just runs all over them. Like, he just throws all over the Lions. Give me a break. Get lost today, Lions. And the third team is the local team, the Los Angeles Rams, who had a big matchup. A lot was talked up about these guys. I keep hearing about Aaron Donald every freaking day with the Rams Twitter. Oh, Aaron Donald. Look, he might be good, but he was not enough to get the Rams to beat a very, very winnable game, a very, very winnable opponent, honestly. If they had scored one more touchdown, they'd have won the game. But no, you have Todd Gurley, who's having a great year, but he goes towards the end zone. And not only doesn't get in, but he fumbles the ball and lets it hit the pylon, which is a touchback, and the Seahawks get the ball. Well, guess what? The Rams lost by like 4 points. Give me a break. You know, everybody's talking up the Rams. Oh, they're much better this year. Ah, they're so good. Freaking team couldn't even beat a team that was doing nothing on offense in the Seattle Seahawks. That was a joke. So they can get lost today, too. And I mean, look, I'm happy what they did against the Cowboys, but to be fair, Cowboys are letting everybody score on them. So, as it turns out, it didn't really mean a whole lot. The Rams are just a long way to go. That's sort of my take on it. So, those are my get lost todays. Let's give it to Andy, and let's get your week five NFL recap.
Yeah, you guys did a good job running everything down. You know, LOL Browns. I watched way too much of that Jet Browns game on the lower quadrant on my laptop. You get the four games. I had Browns Jets on there for a little bit. They can't do anything right. But again, they won the draft. If you listen to ESPN and Matt Berry and Trent Dilfer every May, watch out for the Browns. Ooh, the Browns, their report cards for the draft are always good. And every year, they stink. Wake me up when the Browns actually do something. I'm fucking tired of hearing about how the Browns are so good and how great they are with the analytics and they're outside the box. Their team stinks, okay? Their team is atrocious. They could have had Deshaun Watson, and they didn't. They got no quarterback. A Hugh Jackson's record like 1-25. They stink. Enough. I'm tired of hearing how good the Browns are going to be in down the road, okay? Wake me up when I'm down the road. The same thing goes for the Jaguars. And the Steelers did nothing to quiet that narrative. I think Roethlisberger just threw another pick six. But it's a shame on them. And now all of a sudden people think this Rams Jaguars game's got juice. That's a poo game. The Texans every year Watt gets hurt. You're right, Dave. That took some that dampened the Sunday night game just a little bit. The Giants are a joke, as you guys mentioned. And fuck Jay Cutler, too. Fuck anybody that thought Jay Cutler was going to be a good fantasy pickup. I'm not making it up. If you go on the internet back in late August, everyone's like, Cutler's going to be a great guy. He's got these new toys. Landry and Parker, he's just going to throw it up for grabs and just gonna throw the ball downfield all the time. Oh, my God. His body language looks like he wants to be anywhere but on the football field. He threw for 97 yards. By the way, they covered against the Titans on Sunday, and I was still angry at Cutler. The week before, the game in London. Oh, man, Dave, if you were up at 7 a.m., you'd be watching that game. You know, West Coast, the game started extra early out here. Wake up at 7 a.m., and I see Cutler looking like a louse. I'm like, why did you even go to London? But every week, I think I'm involved in some sort of Cutler bet. Week two, they played the Chargers. I took the Chargers and they lost. So even last week, when I finally took the Dolphins in a winning situation, they still pissed me off. I'm so sick of Cutler. I don't know why the coach had to put Matt Moore in. Like Matt Moore is actually halfway decent. We saw it last year. You know, I'm not a Kaepernick fan or anything, but Kaepernick could definitely play for the Dolphins. Yeah, the Packer-Cowboy game was wild and exciting. I don't know if I can trust the Eagles yet. You know, congratulations, you beat Carson Palmer on the road, an old Carson Palmer. You know, tomorrow's game, you know, if both teams have the Thursday night GBs, it might not be a true reflection of both teams. You know how those Thursday night games go. But it's going to be a wild, unpredictable league again. I mean, yeah, Green Bay's starting to take a big step in the NFC. I think Atlanta is actually showing some signs of hangover effect. I know how quickly that changed. And weeks one and two, they look great. And now they, you know, they struggled to beat they lost to the Bills. The week before that, they struggled in their win. So I don't know if you can trust Atlanta. Green Bay's taking a step, you know, in the AFC. You know, Patriots have two losses. The Chiefs are world winners, but I don't know if you can trust them either. The AFC North looks to be the worst division in the league. And the AFC South, you know, someone's got to win that. It's up for grab now. I mean, Houston's no longer a defensive threat with Watt gone. So you might see like an 8-8 team in the playoffs, whether it's a division winner, like out of the AFC South or wild card, because there's these teams are just kind of beating up on each other. So we'll see what happens as we get deeper into the season.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, certainly on that. And I think we might need another 3 weeks to really see who the contenders and the pretenders are, because I'm with you on the Eagles. I'm not convinced of them either. I mean, if you think about their point differential, it's pretty bad. Like, they beat the Chargers by two, they beat the Giants by three, and a miracle 61-yarder. They're not beating teams by very many points. So I'm kind of waiting for the other shoe to drop with that team for the entire season. I feel like
I feel like all these teams have glaring weaknesses.
Yep.
Cowboys can't stop anybody. Patriots have holes on defense. Green Bay, had some offensive line issues, and their defense can be kind of spotty. Atlanta still has the paper tiger / bully reputation that needs to be fixed at some point. As John likes to say, the Lions are always freaking scrummy. The Saints can't stop anybody. The Raiders are all banged up. They're a team that was supposed to contend. The Titans, they're all banged up. They got no secondary. They're a team that was supposed to take the next step. The Steelers don't look very good. The Seahawks can't move the ball, but all of a sudden, their defense is starting to turn around. Someone's got to win the NFC West. So it's who's going to be on top? It's going to be like the best smelling turd might win the Super Bowl this year.
Seriously, right? It's just a lot of that this year. Before we get to picks, let's just get to John for one final take on these on all of this craziness. You did call this, John. You did say it was going to be really close this year. A lot of parity / mediocrity, whatever you want to call it. So anything else regarding the state of the league?
No, I think it's exciting. I mean, there's not that one dominant team that's just going to blow everybody out, and it makes for some competitive games every week. So I think it's interesting. I mean, it might lead to kind of a watered-down playoffs, but, outside of a couple teams that are clearly just horrible, Giants, 49ers, Browns come to mind off the top of my head. I mean, everyone's pretty much in the mix for the playoffs, so I think it's really exciting. I can tell, you don't like the Cardinals, Dave, so you don't think that huge trade to get Adrian Peterson is going to turn the Cardinals season around, do you?
No way. I mean, I wasn't even that big on Marshawn Lynch. This is even worse. Like, I don't know what they think is going to really happen here. I mean, they probably didn't give up much, but I mean, seriously, you didn't do anything for the Saints. Imagine that. This is a team that like prides itself on offense. He barely played. I never saw him. I never saw him take one snap this entire season. So,
I think him and Sean Payton kind of locked horns a little bit. If you saw him, he kind of gave him a look on the first game on Monday Night Football. Like, they wanted to get into a fist fight on the sidelines. So I think that kind of had something to do with it too. But
yeah,
and I know Andy will be. Andy loves this Dolphins Falcons game this weekend. I think he's going to be interested in that one.
I'm kind of curious to see if Andy's going to take that one. So let's get to the picks, and we'll start with Ron's picks from for this week in week number 6 of the NFL. We start for Ron, and he will select game number 1. He's going to go with the Panthers minus 3 at the Eagles. I love this pick. I love this pick. I think you guys love this pick too, because we are just not feeling the Eagles. So good start, job out of Ron. We'll see if it works out. Game number 2, Bears plus 7 at the Ravens. Interesting call, because I think a couple things. I mean, Mitch Trubisky's now their starter. That's part 1. Part 2, the Ravens might be a little bit in for a letdown after beating the Raiders on the road like they did. They really crushed them. So we'll see. So to repeat, Panthers minus 3 and Bears plus 7 for Ron in New Jersey. And we segue right to my picks. And let me tell you something, guys. There's a reason why I love that Ron pick. It's also mine. Panthers minus 3 against the Eagles. There are two teams that I'm like really just been consistently down on the whole year. And this is one of the teams. Let me tell you, for all that we've spoken about Cam struggling and everything, I just think that the Eagles are due for a loss. I mean, honestly, yeah, they lost early in the season, sure, but they've been winning game after game, barely edging out anybody, except for last week, of course, against the useless Arizona Cardinals. But I guess it just boils down to this. What do they do well? I'm thinking, well, do they throw the ball that well? Nah, not really. I mean, do they run the ball that well? I guess. Do they play great defense? Not really. Giants were putting up all sorts of passing yards on them. So what do they do well? I don't really know. And so personally, I think the Panthers are going to be the better play here. Although the Thursday night scenario can be a little unpredictable in that regard. We'll see. So there it is. Panthers minus 3. I have to do a second pick. Okay. So here's the other team that I hate all year, the Falcons. I just think that they're still going to have the letdown. Yeah, they're winning the games, but, you know, these guys are soft. I'm going to go with the Dolphins plus 11. Andy's absolutely 100% right about Cutler, but that's just how much I'm down on the Falcons. This is way too many points. You think the Falcons are going to win by 14 plus? I don't know. Not into it. So we'll go Dolphins plus 11 to go with Panthers minus 3 in week number 6. All right, Andy, it's your turn. I'm happy to get your picks whenever you're ready to go.
All right, thanks, Dave. Yeah, I was thinking about taking the Steelers because that line, it seems like a fishy line. I feel like the Chiefs could be giving more to this Steelers team that can't get out of their own way, but I'm going to lay off that one. Game number one, I'm going to take the Lions getting 5 at the Saints. You know, senior ass clown and senior Peyton back at home after a game in London, so they haven't played in a little while. Listen, congratulations, you held the Dolphins scoreless. Your defense still sucks, and you know, the Lions, I am a little cautious about this game, concerned about this game, because their offensive line seems to be a little out of sorts. Stafford was running for his life a lot against Carolina last week, but I'm just taking this game for a few reasons. Number one, Saints defense isn't very good. Number two, if there's a Mount Rushmore of backdoor / garbage time / actual heroic, to put Matt Stafford in that list, and this line being what it is at 5, it's very inviting for a backdoor situation. You know, ass clown to be up by 10 points, 11 points, and in comes Matt Stafford against a prevent defense with about 6 minutes left. That's exactly what you want in that situation. I also think they could win this game outright too. I don't respect the Saints defense. You gotta watch out for Cardwell doing Cardwell things too when you take the Lions, but that's the risk of wagering. So game number one, I'm gonna take the Lions getting 5 on the road against the Saints. Game number two, this is put a bunch of stuff in your crock pot and see what happens in a couple hours. We're going to take the Denver Broncos giving 11.5 on a Sunday night contest against the New York Giants. Listen, the Broncos offense can sometimes scare you when taking their games. You know, they're not very flashy. They're not quick strike. They take a little while to score. They rely on their defense a lot. Having said that, the Giants are just a complete disaster. They have lost a lot of offense in their receiving department, and they can't run the ball. So that's going to be a problem, I think, on Sunday night. I don't care if Collinsworth hates the Giants or the rest hate the Giants. It's not going to be a good recipe for success in Denver. McAdoo, we made fun of them last year, and this was last year at least they were competitive, winning a bunch of close games and nibbling into the playoffs. This year, they are just lost and getting more lost, it feels like, as the weeks progress. So I'm going to hopefully have a fun time Sunday night, laughing at the Giants on Sunday night TV, just like we did week one against the Cowboys. But in New York, they always get these primetime games. So might as well, if we're forced to watch them, might as well try to make some money at the same time. So game number two, we're going to take Denver giving 11.5 to the hapless Giants. Game number one was Lions getting 5 on the road against the Saints.
All right. Thanks for the picks, Andy. And we'll now go to John in Connecticut's picks. There really are some really weird lines this week. I mean, some crazy large numbers in some games. And like the one that's kind of interesting is that the Jaguars are actually favored against the Rams, which surprised me, but I'll leave that alone for now. So let's give it to you, John. Week number 6 NFL picks.
Yeah, we had all the spreads last week were within like, you know, 2 or 3 or 4. And now this week you have all the big spread. There's like 5 huge spreads here. So definitely an interesting week. We'll start. I'm going to go head to head with one of Ron's picks, and I had Ravens minus 6.5, but we'll keep it at 7. That's fine. I think they'll win by at least 10 points here. There's nothing that I saw from Mitchell Trubisky to make me think he's going to play well in his first start on the road, especially against a tough defense like the Ravens. You know, he obviously has some ability, but he's certainly a raw prospect. He's going to need a lot of playing time to get him to be a more polished quarterback. And you know, you saw he made some nice plays on Monday night, but he also made some crucial mistakes. And going up against a tough Baltimore defense, I see more of the same. You know, I don't like Flacco and I don't like that Ravens offense, but you know, they should do just enough and let their defense do the rest and win this one pretty comfortably, you know, 27 to 13, something like that, and let their defense win the game for them. So we'll take the Ravens minus 7 for game number one. And then for game two, you know, maybe I'm just really perplexed by this line, but how are the Bucs favored on the road over anyone? I mean, I know the Cardinals have not been very good this year, but you know, Tampa is just one of those teams that everyone's kind of waiting to take the next step, waiting for Jameis Winston to, you know, become an elite quarterback. And you know, I mean, he has his moments, but on the road giving points, I see this as like the Minnesota game a couple weeks back where they were favored by a couple points on the road and Case Keenum just tore their defense to shreds. I think that's the main problem here. The Cardinals, as we've said, Dave, they can't run the ball, but what they can do is they can throw. And Palmer, for you know, he stinks on a East Coast game like we saw last week against the Eagles, but back home I see a big game for Fitzgerald, for John Brown, Jerron Brown. Start all your Cardinals players this week in fantasy football, wide receivers, and Palmer anyway, because the Bucs defense has just not been very good. You know, they did an okay job versus Brady last week, but they were having some offensive line issues as well. The point here is I just don't see the Bucs being favored on the road at this stage of their development. And, you know, the Cardinals will obviously play better at home. We'll take them plus 2 to win the game outright. Arizona plus 2, in addition to the first pick, was Baltimore minus 7 for NFL week number 6.
All right. Thanks, John. And to all of you guys, good luck to the picks this week. Yeah, these are some crazy games. So I guess we have a little bit of time, so we'll go for final thoughts from each of you. Andy, final thoughts as far as football this week and anything else on your mind?
Final thoughts, nothing too much really. We covered a lot of topics here, you know, baseball, playoffs in the mix, the NFL parity probably only seemed to get more topsy-turvy as the weeks progress. College football, you know, we start in the beginning of the year with maybe like a dozen to 18 teams that could win the championship. As we turn the page into mid-October, teams start dropping like flies. That's obviously happening. I'm not going to talk about, I think we're all a little bit anthem fatigued out. We'll see what happens in the next coming weeks with that. And, you know, flex scheduling will happen sooner or later. Curious to see what some of these Sunday night games that on paper last year when they made the schedule look good are suddenly not looking so good and see who gets flexed in and who gets flexed out.
All right. Let's go to John for final thoughts as well.
Yeah, nothing much else to add. We talked about a lot. Yeah, well, we'll have to check and see how many more Sunday night games the Giants have. Or, you know, I'm surprised they didn't flex out of this one this Sunday, but we'll see going forward. Yeah, nothing else to add. Andy, are you watching any of the CIMB Classic in Asia this week as the PGA Tour season begins again after it just ended a couple weeks ago?
John, you'll be either repulsed or happy to hear that our three golfers today were – We're watching. Yeah, I've got Matsuyama, I've got Duffner, and I've got Woodland, and the my opponent's got Thomas, Peters, and Paul Casey. And then we also did the same wager for the Italian Open because that's a pretty strong field as well.
Oh, jeez. I am not repulsed because I did a FanDuel lineup for this week, and I played some Malaysian guy that I've never heard of in my life. But he had two top tens at this event the last couple of years, and he's actually 3-under through 11 holes. So I'm quite pleased with his start. So, you know, that's the degenerateness coming out. So
it's a sick course. This is so sure. So in 2 weeks, they're going to a ladies tournament there, and, like, it's kind of a big deal. They made a big deal that last year, protested. So the driving range now is, like, actually on the third hole of where the ladies would play, like, in 2 weeks' time. I think it's just a par three, though, so all the divots from the driving range really won't be a factor, but it's still, like, probably a little bit of an eyesore.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I love this when they the PGA Tour, and they're kind of like the European Tour. They have this three-week swing through Asia, and for someone who lives on the East Coast and is, you know, kind of an insomniac on the weekends, I love staying up to, like, 2:30. We can watch a little late-night golf. So this is good stuff. And, Dave, I thought you probably never thought we'd be talking about the CIMB Classic when we started the show tonight.
Fantasy golf, you got to love it. Good stuff, fellas. Well, enjoy that tournament. I mean, if there was some free time in there, you said this is going to be during the wee hours, like 11 and 12.
It's on right now.
That's awesome. That's something to watch after this baseball game's over. So I'll give that a shot. Guys, thanks very much for coming on this week, and we'll do it again next week. Tuesday next week because of the championship series underway. So program reminder, we'll be on a night earlier next week, and we'll see what happens from there. So, guys, enjoy the bottom of the ninth of this baseball game. We are still same score, 3-2. Yankees on top, but we'll see what happens in the bottom. So we will see on that. Guys, take care. Good luck to your picks, and we'll do it again soon. So take care, fellas.
All right. Thanks, Dave.
Good night, everyone.
Night, everyone. Good luck. And that's our program. Thanks very much to Chris in Georgia and Andy in Seattle and John in Connecticut. And all of you for tuning in as usual. Tell your friends to subscribe to this program. Go to Apple Podcasts, look for DITCOW, and subscribe to the entire DITCOW experience. Sports coverage like you will never hear anywhere else in media. So we hope you've enjoyed that. We're at DITCOW.com. We're also on Twitter at DITCOW. Have a good one. We'll see you next time.